So reading from 1 Peter chapter 5. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And may God indeed encourage us, and may we indeed know a real sense of his power at work, upholding us. Just before we turn to look at God's word, let's just ask God's blessing. Heavenly Father, as we read these words, Lord, we are encouraged. We are encouraged by your provision for us. Lord, in the fact that you uphold us, that you enable us to stand, be strong and steadfast, even in the face of the temptations of this world. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have also brought us into a church family, that we can encourage and spur one another on. Heavenly Father, we just pray that as we think on these things, and as we think about how you call people to leadership, Lord, that you would just help us to understand the importance and also the process in what we're about to do as a church family in appointing an elder. That the person might be the person that you desire and have chosen. So, Heavenly Father, we just pray these things. Open our eyes. Help us to understand your word. For we pray these things in Jesus' powerful and precious name. Amen. You know, good churches are sometimes really hard to find. And I often hear that from people who sort of go around churches. And I was actually heard it from someone this past week who had moved away from the church that they went to and how they've struggled to find a healthy church, a church where the word of the Lord is proclaimed, where the gospel of the Lord Jesus is shared, where people actually care, where people actually realize that they're part of a family. You know, sometimes we can go into a church and it can be divided, it can be racked with dissensions over petty issues. Or sometimes it's over legalism about what you should and shouldn't do. Sometimes the people in the church can be as cold as Eskimos. Because they don't show love or care or concern. What makes for a healthy church? I suppose many scriptural elements could be listed. Especially important is a strong commitment to God's word, our only authority for faith and practice. But what makes a commitment to God's word happen? The answer is that the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ is present amongst us, as we've been talking about. And we're continuing to look how another element that God identifies is having good leadership, strong leadership. That together we are a team, part of God's team. And today we're looking at a team talk. How Peter tells us that we need to work together. Each person needs to play their part. And in a healthy church, the elders will shepherd. The flock, the people, will submit. Obscuring the screen. Thanks for picking that up, Mike. But we all need to humbly come before our Heavenly Father in faith in the Lord Jesus. You know, the churches that Peter was writing to, the context, to the background, to what is happening here, is that Peter is writing to Christians who were facing intense persecution. Just earlier, he talks about how they shouldn't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that's come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. And where we picked up in chapter 5, actually continues that on. And he uses this word, therefore. In other words, because the reality is that we're living in a time of fiery trials, in a time where we're really struggling. He says, therefore, in the light of these trials, strong pastoral leadership is essential. In Titus 1:5, Paul reminds Titus of the importance of elders and the fact that he had left Titus there to appoint elders, plural, in every city. So in every place where there was a fellowship, there was to be elders who would lead the people, who would join the people together in a cohesive family. So the elder's role is one that is vital. It's vital in the health and the way in which the church actually is organized, but also the way in which the church lives. In verse 1, Peter gives us a requirement. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who will also share in the glory to be revealed. You know, who wrote this letter? Peter. Peter the Apostle. Peter, the rock on which Jesus said he would build his church. Yet, here, Peter writes to them, and he doesn't stand on ceremony and say, well, I'm Peter the Apostle. I'm telling you. He writes to them and says, I appeal as a fellow elder. You know that word appeal means it's a heart-driven thing.
He has a real sense of longing, passion in saying this to them. And notice what Peter also says, that he's a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings. Oh, sorry. You know, that word elder that's used is that Greek word. The Greek word is sun, means with or alongside, presbyteron. Presbyteron is elder. So it means with elder or fellow elder. Peter doesn't stand on ceremony. These elders that he's writing to, he doesn't view himself as being higher, better, but they are fellow elders, not on the same level. And he's encouraging them. He's encouraging them to actually see what God has called them to. The word elder focuses on what an elder should be. He says that these elders, like him, should be witnesses. Witnesses to the Lord Jesus, to Christ's sufferings. For Peter, Peter had been along with Jesus. He had experienced being with Jesus. He had heard Jesus' teaching. He saw Jesus crucified and resurrected and ascended. Peter is a witness, but he's also one who's experienced these Jesus' atoning sacrifice. It was personal to him. He was a Christian. He was Christ's man. And he says that he's assured of being part of God's eternal family. You know, that's Peter's experience. And you know, that's what is vital for an elder. What is vital for an elder and the person whom we will appoint needs to have a personal experience of the Lord Jesus. A personal faith in the Lord Jesus. And you know, a witness is one who gives of themselves. Who gives of himself to testify, to share. And Peter says that's what he does. And that's what all elders should do. That we should proclaim Christ in our life, day by day, in the way that we live, in our relationships together. We should be focusing on the suffering of Christ as a motivation for dealing with the sin that is in us and for loving Christ more. By focusing on the glory that is to be revealed in Christ's coming, makes an elder live in holiness and hope in the light of Christ's coming. You know, what should drive us as elders, and we'll look at this in just a sec, but it's not about having a position of authority. You know, often it's the case, especially in the Presbyterian Church, an elder is seen as being, well, he's been around for donkey's years. So, well, he'll do as an elder. Or someone who's perhaps involved in the church. And we think, oh, he does everything in the church. He'll be a good elder. But what's vital is that living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. An elder must be a man who walks closely with the crucified, risen, and coming Saviour. It should be what keeps us as Christians, but especially elders, accountable, responsible. Because we're not responsible to you as a church family, as such.
We're ultimately responsible to the Lord Jesus Christ as elders.
Quickly moving on. We also see the elders' responsibility. Peter tells them, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them. Not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock.
You know that command to shepherd the flock of God calls to mind various passages from Scripture where God portrays himself as the shepherd. And also the Lord Jesus in being the great shepherd. But Peter and Scriptures says how God appoints under-shepherds. People who have that day-to-day, hands-on responsibility in shepherding the flock. You know, part of the responsibility of elders, of duties of shepherds, is to know the flock. In other words, to know the people that are around. Know people that are part of our flock. We need to know them, preferably by name, and I'm starting to learn your names, which is, it'll take me time, as I said. But it's great to get to know people and to know their struggles, know their background, know where they're coming from, what drives them. It's vital. Because shepherding involves knowing, sort of being able to see the needs in order to lead the flock. In the ancient world, in the pictures that are given in the Bible of the shepherd, it's not that the shepherd has got a dog that he whistles and the dog starts steering the flock. The biblical view and picture of a shepherd is that the shepherd leads the flock. He goes out in front. He keeps them right. And then the flock The flock will follow because they can know that they can trust the shepherd. The shepherd also feeds the flock. I'm sure that we all know that great Psalm 23. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. In other words, I know that I don't need to be anxious or concerned. Why? Because he leads me by still or quiet waters. He restores my soul. You know, as a shepherd, it's one of the things that you do. You seek to ensure that the flock is nourished, that it can grow, that it can become stronger. Also, the shepherd needs to protect the flock, to keep the flock together. Because the farmer, people often say that sheep are dumb animals. That sheep will often break away and go off on their own, wandering to sort of where they want to. But the shepherd wants to keep the flock together so that they're not vulnerable. Because sheep that is out on its own is vulnerable to attack or getting lost. The shepherd keeps his flock together. He looks after them. You know, Peter says, that's what an elder should be. That's what an elder's responsibility is.
that we should be looking after others. And the key to giving proper oversight is having a right attitude. The motivation of the shepherd shouldn't be that they're there because it's a job. I'm sure that we all, from time to time, think, I could see this far enough. I really don't feel like going to church today, get up out of bed. Or I don't really want to go to a meeting. But, you know, we all sometimes feel like that. But what should stand at our heart, what should motivate us, and what should we should be constantly reminding ourselves of is the Lord in his love and grace has called me. The Lord has called me to lead or to be there or to ensure that the flock don't wander. So in having that right attitude, as Peter says, of being aware that our responsibility, and this not only goes for elders but all of us, our responsibility is to God, to our Lord. For the elder, it should, Peter says, it should also be that we are eager to serve. Not because we have to, but because we want to. Because we want to glorify God. To see the Lord Jesus proclaimed. And finally, we need, as for elders, they need to be an example. An example of, for the people. That they're not, their position is not one that they're lording over other people. Right? I've made it. I'm an elder. I can tell you what to do. Peter says, no. And we may sort of smirk at that. But you know, that's what happened in the Corinthian church. That's what happened in the history of the church. And it still happens today, where elders think that their position makes them so much better and higher than anyone else. Peter said, no. That isn't what should motivate us. What should motivate us is that we should live humbly before the Lord. We should remember that leadership is more a responsibility than a privilege. Leadership means that you are the one whom God holds accountable for the direction of things under your care. You know, as elders, that's true. For those of us who are elders, God will hold us accountable. But it also goes for all of us in our Christian lives, in terms of our families, our relationships with others. Our responsibility is to the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And we also should have a reassurance. Peter says, when the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus, appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Jesus is the chief shepherd. The Greek word is actually archi, which means chief, and poimen, which means shepherd or pastor. The word appear, when Jesus, the chief shepherd, appears, means to expose to view, to make manifest. So that's what we as elders are to do. Is our ultimate example is the Lord Jesus himself, the chief shepherd. And when he appears, when we see the Lord Jesus, when he comes again in glory, in power and glory. Yet, we know this is going to happen. We know that we have Jesus promise himself. Very quickly, moving on. Time to save us again. But as a congregation, our role as a congregation, Paul talks about young people, but he talks about young people because young people are often more impetuous, more sort of rebellious, or wanting to establish themselves. But it goes for all of us. That all of us have to submit. I've got to come before not only God, but before the elders. You know, it's often a case that sometimes we criticize others, especially criticize those who are in roles of leadership. See that elder? They call themselves an elder? How can they do that? Or they're telling us to do this. They can get notice. Sometimes it is a case that we have that rebellious streak. But Peter says that we are to submit. It doesn't mean that we blindly accept everything. We are responsible to God for our faith, and it's right for us to question. It's right for us to evaluate what we're being told. Even if that's a critical analysis of the sermon. And if anybody has questions over the sermon, then by all means, if anyone's got any complaints about the sermons, tough. I mean, come and see me. The reality is that we should be submitting intelligently. We should be looking to our elders, those in leadership, to actually lead us, to lead us well. And we have to clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Why? Because God opposes the proud, but shows favour to the humble. In Hebrews chapter 13, we're told, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Sometimes, as a congregation, we may, as I said, grumble and complain. Or we may sort of question and think, well, I'm not doing that. But we must submit. We must do this so that the work of elders, so those that are put in a position of leadership, that their work will be a joy. It won't be a burden. And that their work, and then being faithful to the Lord Jesus, will actually see the Lord Jesus glorified and lifted up. You know, while on manoeuvres, there's a story of a battleship lookout who noted a light in the dark, foggy night. And after noting the light's coordinates, the captain recognised that the ship was on a collision course with the other vessel. The captain instructed, signal the other ship, we're on a collision course. Advise that you change 20 degrees. The return signal from the light countered, advisable for you to change course 20 degrees. The captain signaled back, I'm a captain, change your course 20 degrees, that's an order. The response was, I'm a seaman, second class. You'd better change your course 20 degrees. By the time the captain was furious,
And his signal curtly ordered, "I'm a battleship. Change course 20 degrees. The reply that came was, "I am a lighthouse. You decide." The lighthouse was signalling the danger that was ahead. It couldn't change course. It was where it was. It marked the danger. It's imperative to be open to changing direction if there is danger ahead. And elders have that responsibility to ensure that this flock is protected. Very quickly. Let's just move on. Secondly, their role is to be selfless. God opposes the proud, but shows favour to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. You know, the picture that is given is that we are to clothe ourselves with humility. And, you know, the word clothes means we're to put on. And the word that's actually used in this passage was used of a white scarf or apron that slaves wore. And Peter says, put on this, if you like, clothing of humility. Acknowledge your Lord. And it's fastened around their girdle. And it's what Jesus actually wore when he washed his disciples' feet. This is what we have to clothe ourselves with. We have to clothe ourselves with this attitude of humility. We have to put it on. You know, it's easy for us to be arrogant or to be prideful or to reject what we're being told. But our attitude should be one of humility, where we assess, we question, we look at what we are being told. Why? Because we need to be humble-minded. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 says, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy comes from God. You know, that attitude, that prideful attitude, is where we basically say, well, I am Lord of myself. I know. Don't tell me. I can do it. I can do what I want. But our adequacy shouldn't come from our pride. It should be from that humble spirit where we submit ourselves before the Lord. You know, there's a couple of church fathers who said some really interesting things. One was Chrysostom, who called humility the foundation of our philosophy. In other words, it's the building block of our understanding of life, the world of God, where we need to take that attitude, that approach of humility. Augustine said, if you ask me concerning the precepts of the Christian religion, first, second, and third, and always I would answer humility. Because we are humble, we can be self-controlled. Just very quickly, moving on. Time has saved us. But we see God's promise and God's role in this also. Peter tells them that they might be living in times of fiery trial. Things might be really tough, how to live. But Peter gives them the promise of God's role in all of this. That when the elders lead, when the people follow, and where the Lord Jesus is proclaimed, God promises to lift us up.
to strengthen us, verse 10, and gives us absolute certainty. Thus, I implore each one of you, as we come in this process of appointing a new elder, to actually seriously think and reflect and prayerfully ask that the Lord might indeed lead us as a church family, that the person who we as a church family appoint as a leader, as an elder, as one who has that responsibility, is the right person. That we as a church family, that we can grow, that we can be secure, that we can actually see the Lord Jesus powerfully demonstrated, revealed, glorified in our midst. Pray that over the next couple of weeks that you'll prayerfully consider that. We pray for the person that may be appointed in that position. Amen.